This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Rabbi Lapin, September 19th.
And we know it also because Adar is always short. So even though we know for absolute sure when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, since Adar is always short, we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, even without Adim. Nevertheless, Adim are permitted to be Mechalel Shabbos to come and tell us. Why would that be? If we have the information without the Adim, what do we need the Adim for? The Mishnah says, because mitzvah lekadesh al ha-ri'iyah. It's a mitzvah to, even if you know when it is, it's a mitzvah to be mekadesh al ha-ri'iyah. And this whole sugya, our whole discussion, and when we get into the minchas chilut, is going to be around these two sources of information. The one source of information is the empirical evidence of the Eidim. We saw the moon. And the other is the calculated theoretical evidence that the Chachomim have themselves, Beis Din has themselves. So we have the capacity to calculate Rosh Chodesh, and we have the capacity to observe Rosh Chodesh. At this point we're saying the initial assumption was we needed the witnesses to tell us when it was. We needed it for information. The Gemara now says no, we don't need it for information. We can calculate all the information we need. But there's something else. Mitzvah lekadesh al ha-ri'iyah. What's the idea of mitzvah lekadesh al ha-ri'iyah? So I explained it to you last year that it's the same as mitzvah lekadesh al ha-yayin. Just as you need wine for kiddush, and you need wine for havdalah, even though you're not being mekadesh the wine, you're being mekadesh the Shabbos. And you need wine by kiddushin. You're not marrying the wine, you're being mekadesh the woman, but you need wine. So you're being mekadesh the month, but you need a moon. There's got to be a physical object that is central to the process of being mekadesh something, and the moon is central to that process. That was the first phase of last week's Gemara.
If there's a moon available, then
if,
you need the moon.
If there's a, well, to be mekadesh on the 30th day, you need a moon. If you don't have a moon on the 30th day, no matter what your calculation is, you're mekadesh on day 31.
So
to be mekadesh on the early time, you've got to have the moon, even if you know that's the date. Okay.
So why can't you be mechal Shabbat for the other months?
And why can't you be Mekadesh for the, because with all the other months, as Rashi explained last week, you can decide if the Eidim don't come, you make Rosh Chodesh tomorrow. Not a big deal. But on Tishrei and Nisan, it is a big deal to make Rosh Chodesh the next day. So with the other months, you can wait till the next day. The witnesses will come the next day. They'll say, we saw the moon yesterday. We'll say, okay, pity we didn't know yesterday, but at least you saw the moon. So today is Rosh Chodesh. So there's a way out of it. The second phase of the Gemara did the opposite. It actually supported the statement of the... So what did the Gemara ask? How could Adar be always chaser? If Adar is always chaser, why do we need Eidim? Answer the Gemara, no, Adar is always chaser, and yet we need Eidim because of mitzvah lekadesh al ha-ri'iyah. The second part of the Gemara approached it completely differently and said, no, I can bring you a proof from the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Aleph. How does that work? It works by saying that if we know, it says that you can be Mechal Shabbos for Nisan and Tishrei. If you'll say that it's always Choser, then I understand why you're Mechal Shabbos. Why? Because if it's always Choser, then Beis Din do not have the option of making day 31 Rosh Chodesh. That's what it means, always Choser. Odera, Somot Nisan, Lo'ilam Choser. It's always a short month. That means we do not grant Beis Din the opportunity, the option of making Adar long. If Beis Din doesn't have the option of making Adar long, then they've got to make Rosh Chodesh on day 30. What happens if there are no witnesses on day 30 because of Shabbos? They'll still have to make it to Rosh Chodesh, but they'll be doing it without witnesses. That's like making Kiddush without wine. So we allow the Eidim to be Mechal Shabbos, so as to come to Beis Din and to be able to give evidence on day 30. Says the Gemara, I understand that. But if you say that Rosh Chodesh and that Adar is sometimes long and sometimes short, then Beis Din does have the option. And if Beis Din does have the option to make it a longer month, then why do they have to come on Shabbos? They could come on Sunday, is the Gemara's question. So you see that Adar in fact has to be short.
And how does the entire Tishrei have a question about
the same thing, exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Tishrei can be long, short, or short.
No, oh, Elul. Elul is the same as Adar. Elul is also always chaser. Almost always chaser. So the Gemara says, no, you can't even bring a proof from there. Why not? That would be all very well if Shabbos came on day 30. Then you're right. If Shabbos came on day 30 and Adar was not always short, then you have the option of saying tomorrow will be Rosh Chodesh. But what happens if Shabbos is on day 31? And this statement of the Gemara is really very important, because the Gemara says, Shabbos is day 31. Now what do you do? You can't wait until Sunday. You've got to make Rosh Chodesh today. But you don't have witnesses. So the witnesses are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Which seems to imply clearly that the Gemara assumes that even when the Rosh Chodesh is on day 31, and you know it can't be later than that, you still need Eidim. Because mitzvah l'kadosh al ariyah, you need Eidim for the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. That was the Gemara we did last time. So Jess asked from that Mishnah on Chof Aleph Amud Beis, where the Mishnah says, "Uchesheyo beis hamikdash kaim mechallim afal kulon mipnei takonos hakorban," and when the beis hamikdash was around, you used to be mechallel on all of them because of the korban. They were allowed to be mechallel Shabbos every day of the month because of the korban. They were allowed to be Mechal Shabbos every day of the month because of the Korban. Why? What does that mean? In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there was a Korban Rosh Chodesh. The Korban Musaf had to be brought on Rosh Chodesh. And because of the Korban, we allowed them to be Mechal every time. And we'll go into a deeper analysis of what that means. But Jess asked, if I remember correctly, if we say that it's a mitzvah, if we say it can't be because of mitzvah lekadesh al ariyah, because the Mishnah doesn't give that as the reason. Is that what you ask? Basically, the Mishnah says that.
I asked last month. I'm saying that you mechal Shabbos on for Nisan and for Tishrei. And I said, and we talked and we said, why is that important? And we said, it's very important. These 2 months are important because those months determine the chagim. So I said, in my nafsh, if you're going to say that it's that anything more for calculation, then I understand why they need to come. They need, because that's important. But if it's just because kachin alayan kiddush, then what's Nisan and Tishrei different than any other month? If you're going to say that the calculation is important for chagim, and you said that they didn't come to calculate, I understand. But if they're just coming to mikdash, like mikdash on the coast, then Nisan's no more important than
any of the other ones. Okay, so let's see as the Gemara goes on, whether the Gemara in a slightly different way doesn't approach the same question. So back on that Chof Amud Aleph, there's one more piece of Gemara that's part of the sugya. It's about 10 lines from the top. At the end of the line, Mativ Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana asked a question. Kesheh kayam mechallim afal kulon mipnei takonos hakorban. What does the Mishnah say? When the Beis Hamikdash was around, the Eidim could be mechallel Shabbos on every one of the months because of the korban. Okay, now let's use the Rashi as we go through. So keep your one finger on the Gemara and use your other finger on the Rashi. Says Rashi, Mipnei Takonas Korban, it's just near that kind of arrow on the side. Mipnei Takonas Korban, Musfei Rosh Chodesh, those are the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh, Sheyikorvu Bizmanan, so that they are brought in their right time. Now let's pause there a moment. What does that mean? We've already learned that if Beis Din decide that Rosh Chodesh is on day 31, although in reality the moon was visible on day 30, but nobody saw it. So astronomically day 30 is Rosh Chodesh, but Beis Din decides day 31, then when would Rosh Chodesh be? Day 31 we learned, even if Beis Din made a mistake, it doesn't matter. Whatever day Beis Din says is Rosh Chodesh, that's Rosh Chodesh. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says in the time of the Beis HaMikdash the Edim could be Mechalel Shabbos so that the Korban Rosh Chodesh would be brought in the right time? Whenever Beis Din says it's Rosh Chodesh, it's the right time. Let the Edim stay at home. Let Beis Din say Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday. And we'll bring the Musaf on Sunday. So what is the Mishnah concerned about?
Obviously, the flexibility given to the rabbis is for clearing Rosh Chodesh, but the Korban has to be actually brought in Rosh Chodesh. If it's late, if it's... it's bottle, it's puzzle, it's whatever.
Well, it's not bottle or puzzle, but what you that seemed to be saying is, yeah, you're right. If the Chachomim made Rosh Chodesh on day 31, then that's when you bring the Korban Musaf. But Takonas HaKorban, there is an ideal required that the Korban is brought on the true day of Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes it doesn't work that way, but we try. So if it, not in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it's not a big deal if we make Rosh Chodesh the next day. What does it bother anybody? We make adjustments on our calendar and everything changes accordingly, and we get it right a month or two later, because we don't just keep on counting 30 days. At the end of the day, we check the moon the following month. So sooner or later, we're going to be right again. So the other months, it doesn't really matter. But in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Korban, and there was a requirement that ideally the Korban should be brought when calculation and observation are in sync. And that's really what we're looking at all the time. You remember I said right through there, the idea of this sugya is the synchronization of anecdotal, experiential knowledge and calculative knowledge. There are two different ways of knowing things. You can know things because you've proved it, and you can know things because you've experienced it. I think I might have given you the example that I could prove to you that a piece of a flimsy piece of metal and wood can fly, and I can prove it to you with formulas that it can fly. That doesn't mean you're going to be the first test pilot. But if you see the thing flying over and over again and everybody's going and having a good time on it, you might try too. So sometimes our experiential knowledge gives us more security, in fact, than our calculated knowledge. And today, this is very relevant today, because we're living in a time where we operate by calculated knowledge. And it's very, very difficult. One of the things they teach you when you learn to fly a plane is how not to rely on your experience. Because if you're in a cloud, your experience can mislead you. Rely on the instruments, rely on the calculations. Our intuition is to rely on our feelings. And here we're weighing up these two sources of information constantly and trying to align them. And what we see is that the Korban has to be brought. The ideal for the Korban to be brought is when the two are aligned. When theoretical information and experiential information are the same, that's when the Korban Rosh Chodesh should be brought. So in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we allow the Edim to be Mechalel Shabbos so that we can get their input to coincide with our calculation and bring the Korban on the right day. That's what the Takonas HaKorban is.
Isn't there something else? There's no such thing as time without experience. I mean, if man didn't exist, or there was no existence, there'd be absolutely no time. It's only observation that makes time, or it's artificial.
Well, it's not really artificial, because the fact is there's a pulse. The moment a pulse was created, there's time. Because there's a measurement of pulse, the pulse of the sun going round, the pulse of the moon coming and going. The moment you've got these objects, even if there was no human being, the fact is there's a measurement. It would have no difference to people. There would be nobody experiencing time.
But I mean, like it's if a tree falls in the forest, nobody's around to hear it. Is there sound? Time is almost an artificial segregation. I mean, we have intrinsic clocks. There's clocks in the universe.
That's if time was based on a clock. Secular time is artificial. The Torah's time is not. The Torah's time is a natural phenomenon. Every time the moon goes around, it's a new month. Every time the sun sets and rises, it's another day. Now, that should be 12 hours, or that there should be 300...
But what I'm saying, there's no Adam.
It's not that there isn't time, because you're right that there isn't. Kabbalah, there's one view that says the time was created with the world, but there is a view that time was created before. So there are two levels of time. There's the measurement and experience of time, and there's the pulse of time. The mere fact that there is a movement, an on-off, the mere fact that there's some kind of a binary movement implies a certain pulse, and if there's a pulse, there's an ability to measure whether you're there or not. So we can calculate that, and that is the concept of calculated time is a mathematical reality whether they're people or they aren't people, and the other is actually being able to experience that passage of time. And for the korban, we want to try and synchronize them. So let's get back into the Gemara. So Mati Rav Kahana, Kishah Mikdash Kayam Mechalalim Ak Al Kulong Mipnei Takonos HaKorban. Says Rav Kahana, that's the end of the quote from the Mishnah. Midekulhu Lav Mishum De Mitzvah Lekadesh Al Hariyah. Since the Mishnah does not mention mitzvah lekadesh al ha'ri'iyah as the reason for aiding being mechal Shabbos in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, says Rav Kahana, the mitzvah to be mechadesh al ha'ri'iyah, that applied in the time of the Beis Hamikdash as well, didn't it? That's not a new mitzvah. That mitzvah was there all the time. And if that's the core reason for the aiding and for allowing them to be mechal Shabbos, why doesn't the Mishnah say at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, aidim were allowed with Mechal Shabbos because mitzvah lekadesh al ha'ri'iyah? The Mishnah doesn't. The Mishnah says the reason is because of the takonos hakorbonos. Therefore, we must assume that Nisan v'Tishrei, that nowadays the Nisan and Tishrei heter for aidim to be Mechal Shabbos is also nami lav mishum the mitzvah lekadesh al ha'ri'iyah, is also not because of mitzvah lekadesh al ha'ri'iyah. It must be something similar to takonos hakorban. That is the need to synchronize calculated time and experienced time. Why should we need to synchronize them today? If we don't have a korban, what should be the reason for that? For Nisan and Tishrei, what would be the reason to synchronize real?
For holiday.
For the Yom Tov. So the same as in those days we said. The same as in those days we said that the mitzvah lekadesh, we said that the reason for the Eidim to be mechal Shabbos is for takonos hakorban. And now that we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, there's no takonos hakorban, but they can still be mechal Shabbos for Nisan and Tishrei. Clearly that's for a similar reason. That is because we need their information. Why do we need their information? Because just as we want the Korban to be on the accurate day, we want Yom Kippur and we want Pesach and we want Sukkot also to be on the accurate days. Because they're Korbanos on those days. So just as we want the Korban of Rosh Chodesh to be on a day which is where the experiential and the calculative information coincides, clearly the Korban Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, all those days we want to also be synced correctly. So that must be the reason. Now let's analyze. Having explained the Mishnah that way, let's now analyze. In that case, E Amris Bishlamo, it would all be very well if you hold Zimnin Mole v'Zimnin Chosa, that sometimes other is long and sometimes it's short. Mishum Hochi Mechalalin, and that's why I need the Eidim to come on Shabbos to make sure that our calculated time and our experienced time are in sync. Elohi Amris Lo'ilam Choser. But if you say that Adar is always a short month, Amayim Mechalalinan, what do I need the Eidim for? So the Gemara is going back to say and proving from the Mishnah that in fact we need the Eidim for information. It's not about being Mechadish Al-Ri'iyah, that's part of it. But there's another part of it. We need them for information. Because there are certain things that we want to take place on the correct time, astronomically, not only from experience. And we want to try and sync the two. And therefore the Eidim can be Mechal Shabbos at the time of the Beis Hamikdash every month, and in our days for Nisan and for Tishrei. Clearly that means we don't know exactly when it is. We need the Eidim to come and tell us exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. We've calculated it, but we want the Re'iyah to be present for that as well. We don't want to do it only on the basis of our calculation, and we can't. What's the din if we don't have the calculation? What would we do? We would postpone it till the next day. And that wouldn't be astronomically the right day. So we want the Eidim to come on day 30 because we know it's got to be day 30 so that we can be Mekadosh al ha'ri'iyah on day 30. That's what the Gemara asks. And the Gemara says to Yufta, valid question, no answer. So what does that mean? If it's a valid question and no answer, what has the Gemara just done?
The premise is wrong.
What? The premise is wrong. What was the premise? So Adar can't be Chosar always. Because if Adar was always Chosar, the Mishnah on that Chofalot wouldn't make any sense. So we've disproved the premise that Adar is always Chosar. That's what the Gemara has done so far. Let's do the other Rashis. Nisan v'Tishrei Nami Lav Mishum de Mitzvah Lekadesh Al Ha'ri'iyah. Clearly Nisan and Tishrei are also not because of the Mitzvah Lekadesh Al Ha'ri'iyah. Havi Chilul Shabbos Didhu. That is not the reason for their Chilul Shabbos. Elo sheyehu hamoyadus bismanam. The reason must be so that Yom Tov will be on the right time, lefi toldos halavona, based on the true birth of the moon. Not just on what Adim happened to say. If the Adim come a day later, that's not good. We want Yom Tov to be based on the true moment of the Moilad. That the Toilodas Halavona, we want to know the Moilad. The Moilad is the astronomical moment of Rosh Chodesh. That's what's important to us. Eloi Amris Loilom Chosir, says Rashi, Amai Mechalalinan. But if Adar is always short, why should they be Mechal Shabbos? Beloved who nami ho idna mekachin and le. If Beis Din doesn't have the option of extending Adar, they have to be Mekadesh on day 30. So if they're going to be on Mekadesh on day 30 without the Adin, will it be astronomically accurate? It will, because we know it's always day 30. So it will be astronomically accurate without Adin. So why do we need the Adin to be Mechal Shabbos? Ask the Gemara. So clearly we've got to say it's not so certain, and therefore Beis Din does have the option to extend Adar. Since it has the option to extend Adar, it cannot declare Rosh Chodesh on day 30 without Adim. So if the Adim don't come on day 30 because it's Shabbos, then Rosh Chodesh will be on day 31, and that will mean the Yom Tovim will be on the wrong day, and we want to try and avoid that if possible. No.
Making a statement that Adar is always chaser, and then saying that the Achamim have an option to extend it seems a contradiction.
Yeah, it would be a contradiction. If Adar is always chaser, then the Achamim do not have the option to extend it. We've just disproved that and said the fact that they said it can't possibly be that it's always chaser, because we see clearly they do have the option to extend it. For if they didn't have the option to extend it, there's no way you can understand the Mishnah on Chof Aleph. That's Rav Kahana's kasha.
Where do we get the idea that Adar is always chaser?
Last week, the shiur that you didn't manage to be at.
Okay.
Gemara, it's a statement of the Gemara at the bottom of the previous omen. Gemara puts the premise, Gemara challenges it, and finally, after three attempts, successfully challenges it and says, we don't accept that.
Okay.
Yes?
There's another, I don't know, I think maybe a solution, rather than just say, you can walk away from it and say, Adar's not always chaser. Maybe Adar can always be chaser. Maybe Adar or Nisan has another special element to it. What's that special element? Really, in truth, you need both. As we said, you need really both. And that's, you know, patient, you need the calculation and you need that. And you might say, Adar is always chaser, so why do the witnesses have to? Why do you still need the witnesses? And why is Adar special? Maybe Adar is special, or Nisan is actually special, because God said it's special.
Ooh, now you ain't really far. Last week you're mechaven to the Amiroim. This week you're mechaven to a Meiri. We'll get there. You're going too fast. We'll get there. So where we are? The Gemara says it's a tiyufta. So let's deal with the Gemara at the moment. The Gemara says it's a tiyufta. That means that the Gemara accepts the challenge and rejects the premise that Adar is always chaser. That means Beis Din does have the option, even on Adar, to make it a long month, which means we've got to be tighter with the laws of evidence, not looser. Since they have the option, they can't make it on day 30 without Adar. Have you got that clear? If Beis Din have an option, then if there are no Adim on day 30, there's no Rosh Chodesh on day 30. No matter how well they know the moon was there. So if it's a cloudy day, and they know for absolute sure the moon is there, that there are no Adim on day 30, there's nothing they can do about it. They make Rosh Chodesh on day 31. If they have no option to make it on day 31, then they can do it without Adim on day 30 as well, because they don't have an option. That's what Adar Lo'olam Chaser means. And that's why the Gemara questions, if we allow Adim to be Mechal Shabbos for Tishrei and Nisan, and it's not because of Mitzvah L'Kadosh HaRei, the Gemara proves that's not the reason. So the reason must be because if they don't come on Shabbos, we'll have to make Rosh Chodesh on Sunday, and that will be the wrong day for Yom Tov. The Korbanos will be on the wrong day. So clearly you see that there is an option to make Rosh Chodesh on the next day, and that's how we dispute that. That's how we reject the premise that Sholchu Leila Marukva on the previous Omid. Now let's go a little bit further. We've got to look at the Gemara and Daf Chof Dalet Amud Aleph now. But it's important that this piece of Gemara that we've just done, you've got to know very, very well. I've got to warn you that Gemara is like Olam Haba. You've got to work really hard in Olam Hazeh to get it. It's an incredible joy, but it doesn't come easily. There's no joy like it. There's nothing so wonderful as grasping a concept in Gemara when you're learning deeply. If you're just learning superficially, it's a bit of information. It doesn't really matter what you're learning. But if you're learning in depth, there's nothing so fulfilling and challenging as grasping a sugya, understanding the principles and seeing how they apply in halacha and seeing how they apply in life. But there's nothing so painful as to sit in a shiur that you don't understand. And I've always said Gehenna is just a long Gemara shiur. That's all it is. You get up there and you walk in there and go. You say to God, am I going to Gehenna or Gan Eden? He says, it's the same place. There's the Beis HaMedrash. The Rambam's giving the shiur at the moment. He's going to finish in 6 years' time. After that, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to make some comments, and then David HaMelech's got something to say. Go and take a seat. And he said, how long is that going to last? Huh? All eternity. If you've learned and you're a Talmud Chacham, you say, my goodness, for the rest of my life, I'm going to sit and listen to these people learning Gemara. What? Gan Eden. And if you haven't, you'll get up there and say, the rest of eternity, I'm going to have to sit and listen, not understand a word. She says, I gave you a chance. Gave you the time. You want to go back and try again? So that's, I can only guarantee you that if you do your bit, I guarantee you I'll do mine and you'll understand. But I can't do it if you don't do your bit. And that means you need to learn several hours a day. Really, we should have a shiur every day. That's the way one should learn Gemara. You should have a shiur every day. But since that's not possible for people, people have different schedules and they work at different times, we've got to say the shiur, the Sunday shiur has to be very packed to give you enough to work on during the week. And that's why we've got tapes and you're able to work over the shiur yourself with the chavrusa. But you're going to find it painful if you don't, and you'll find it joyous if you do. That's it. It's just like our own habit. So this piece of Gemara on that Yutes and Davchaf, you need to know like in your sleep. You've got to know that Gemara, the Sholchul and the Marukva, what they send to Marukva, the attempt to challenge it, the attempt to support it, the rejection of the challenge, the rejection of the support, and the Tiyufta of Rav Kahana. That's the layout of that Gemara. A statement to Marukva that honor is always chaser, an attempt to reject that from the Mishnah on Chof Aleph, a rejection of the rejection. An attempt to support it from the Mishnah on Chof Aleph, a rejection of the support. And then the Tiyufta from Rav Kahana that kills it. That's the piece of Gemara that you need to know. Now let's look at Chof Dalet. Chof Dalet is started the Mishnah in the middle of the Omid. Here's the process. This is how you Mekadesh, and you have this in the handouts, you've got this, you've got this photo stat. Rosh Beis Din Omer Mekudash. When there's been a decision as to the day of Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Beis Din declares out loud Mekudash. V'chol ha'om oini macharov Mekudash Mekudash. And the whole nation are standing around, the people are standing outside, and the whole community declares after him Mekudash Mekudash. So you can picture the situation there. Beis Din has been deliberating. They've made certain calculations. From the calculations come that then they're Eidim. They cross-examine the Eidim. They synchronize experiential information with calculative information. And they say, today is Rosh Chodesh. And the Rosh Beis Din says, Mekudosh. And they all say, Mekudosh, Mekudosh. That's the formula. Bein shinire bizmanoi, bein shiloi nire bizmanoi, mekad shinoisa. Says the Mishnah, it makes no difference if it's seen bismanoi, that means on day 30. When we use the phrase bismanoi, that we've seen at its right time, means day 30. Shaloi bismanoi is day 31. So whether it was seen on day 30 or day 31, that's the process they go through. Rosh Beis Din says Mekudosh, the people say Mekudosh, Mekudosh. Rabbi Loza B'Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Rabbi Loza B'Rabbi Tzadok says, Im loy nire bizmanoi ein mekad shinoisa. No, I disagree, says Rabbi Loza B'Rabbi Tzadok. If you don't see the moon bizmanoi, that means on day 30 the moon wasn't sighted, and therefore Beis Din cannot declare day 30 Rosh Chodesh. They have to wait till day 31. In such a case, they do not make a declaration. Shekvar kitshuhu shomayim. Because God's already been mekadeshit. The moment Rosh Chodesh is not on 30, it's on 31. Can't be any other time. So the moment day 30 ends and Beis Din haven't said Mekudosh, then It's inevitably the next day. You don't have to be in Mimi Kaddish. So the role of Beis Din, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok, is to preempt the creation of Rosh Chodesh. So the latest Rosh Chodesh can be is day 31. Beis Din, by synchronizing sight with calculation, can bring it on to day 30. They have that power. But if they don't bring it on to day 30, they don't have to do anything. It comes automatic. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok says. So we have two views on the Mishnah. The Tanna Kamma who says you always Mekadesh the month, and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok who says you only Mekadesh is a month, Shenireh Bizman, only on day 30. If there's no declaration on day 30, it automatically becomes Rosh Chodesh on day 31. Now we'll go through the Gemara. Part of it is just interesting and part of it is key to us. Rosh Beis Din, says the Gemara, Minah Hanimili. Where do we get this from, that the Rosh Beis Din actually has to say the words Mekudesh? Omar Rabbi Chia bar Gamro, Omar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Omar Rebbe, Omar Krol. Posuk says, Vayedaber Moshe's Moyadei Hashem. Moshe pronounces the festivals of Hashem. Mikan Sherosh Beis Din Oimer Mekudesh. So when do you pronounce the festivals? It's not just, it doesn't say just calculate the festivals, it says Vayedaber. He says it. When does he say it? When he says today is Rosh Chodesh, he's declaring the Moyadim, he's setting the calendar. So the Rosh Beis Din actually has to say it, and that's why it is the Rosh Beis Din, because who declares? What does the Pasuk say? Vayedaber Moshe. Moshe was the Rosh Beis Din. Doesn't say Vayedaber Ha'am or Vayedaber HaKoyanim or whoever, it's Vayedaber Moshe. And since it was Moshe who did that, who fulfilled that task, the Rosh Beis Din has to do it in our days. Gemara goes on, V'chol ha'om oidim acharov mekudash mekudash, and the nation answers after him mekudash mekudash minhalon. Where do we get that from? Amarach papo amakro asher tikru'u oison. The Pasuk says the festivals which you shall call kribe atem. Read that oison without the vav, and then it would read asher tikru'u atem. You also must call. So by Daber Moshe, Moshe must announce, and you must declare. That's where we get it from. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Omar, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak learns it from another pasuk. Eile heim moyadai. Eile, it should say Eile moyadai. These are my festivals. What is Eile heim moyadai? Heim yomru moyadai. They must declare it. Eile heim moyadai. These, they must declare as our Yom Tovs. Mekudesh, Mekudesh, Trey, Zimni, Lamanisa. Why twice? The Rosh Beis Din says Mekudesh because of Vayedaber Moshe's Moadei Hashem. The people say Mekudesh because it says Elohim Moadei or because it says Asher Atikru Oso. But why twice? Answers the Gemara, Dichtiv Mikro Eikodesh. It says in the plural, the callings of Kedusha. And therefore you see that there's got to be at least two callings. So Rosh Beis Din says Mekudesh and the people say Mekudesh, Mekudesh. That's where we get the formula from. That part is not key to us at the moment. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Im loy nireh bizmano ein mekadshin usu. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok says if it wasn't seen in its time, it was seen on day 31, we don't go through the Mekadesh process. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Philemo Omer, Philemo says he was also a Tanner. Bizmano ein mekadshin usu, shaloi bizmano mekadshin usu. He says exactly the opposite. If it's on day 30, you're not Mekadesh it. If it's on day 31, you do. Why is that? Why would you think that should be? So if you look at Rashi, the last short line of Rashi, and again, keep your finger always on the Gemara when you look at the Rashi, because the time it takes to find your place again when you leave the Rashi and go back to the Gemara is just enough to lose a train of thought. So leave your finger always on the point in the Gemara where you are before you turn to the Rashi. It says Rashi bizmanan ein mekadshinu so she'eino tzorich chizuk. You don't need to be mechazek anything. It doesn't need chizuk. When it's bizmano, day 30, that's the right time for Rosh Chodesh. That's the earlier time. Doesn't need chizuk. Doesn't need Beis Din to add any kedusha. When it's day 31, Beis Din has to add kedusha to it. So now we have three views. We have the Tanna Kamma who says what? But we have Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok who says only early. We have Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon who says only the late one. So Philemon says only the late one. And now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, the fourth view is, Ben kach uvein kach ein mekachin, so I don't believe you ever have to do it. Says Rabbi Elozob Rabbi Shimon. Why? Shenema, because it says, V'kidashtem mishas hachamishim. It says quite clearly, you should be mekadish the 50th year. Shoni matzo mekadish v'yatzo mekadish chodoshim. The Torah tells you to be mekadish a year, every 50 years. It says nothing about being mekadish a month. Doesn't say anywhere. So Asher Tikru'u Oisom and all these psukim that we've had, but it doesn't use the word mekadish. And if you say, but the Torah doesn't use that word, it does use the word. It uses it for Yovel. If it uses the word for Yovel, why doesn't it say the same word for Chodesh? Because says Rav Lozeb Rabbi Shimon, there's no such thing as Kiddush HaChodesh. Don't have to be mekadosh the chodesh. Basically, they have to decide when it is, but that's a matter of decision. They meet, they just make a decision, and then they communicate their decision. It doesn't need, there's no process, there's no ritual. There's no act of being mekadosh. That doesn't have to take place. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel, halocha k'Rabbi Elozeb Rabbi Tzadik. Says Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, the halocha is like Rabbi Elozeb Rabbi Tzadik. What does he say? Only the first one you mekadesh, a late month you're not mekadesh. That's the halach. Now, I want to ask you, now you've got to use your heads. Up till now, you could just listen passively. Now you've got to think. Al sugya on that you test and chof. What is the assumption? Which of these four is it going according to? And don't be misled by the fact that halach is like the laws of Rabbi Tzadik. Gemara is not halacha sefer. There's no reason why the Gemara will sometimes not explore something which is not. Alan?
Oh, I can only work because you said it was bulkhead to be Makadish.
Why? Explain why?
Because otherwise you have no argument. It would have been clear that 29 was the only time you would be on a short month. That's the only time you'd have witnesses. So you don't need witnesses for the second day. So the whole argument would have been that in the first part. Would stop there.
Just explain that because you'll say if you're not mekadesh on day 31,
right? So if sometimes it's long, sometimes it's short. You don't worry. The Beis Din will be mekadesh on the long day. If it's always short, they have to come to get the witnesses to do it. They can't be mekadesh. If it's always long, you never need to have witnesses because it doesn't make any difference.
Well, I think you're incredibly close. What will help us is the Me'iri. So you've got that in your handouts as well. There's an amazing Me'iri.
It's the last one. It's the big one.
The right one?
It's the big one, yeah, the last one.
The Me'iri on page 46 asks the following question. That top paragraph that is marked there. Well, the inyan biyu miha hayalo lahakshus. To clarify this further, the Gemara should have asked something else. Im odor hasomuch lenisan lo ilam chose. If, as our premise was, that odor is always short. Lama omru shiyushluchim yotzim al nisan. Why does an earlier Mishnah say you've got to send communication out to the Golus on Nisan? Why should that be necessary? Varekvar yotzu be'odor. If the shluchim went out on Rosh Chodesh Odor, so the people in Babel knew now, even though they knew a little late, but they now know retrospectively when Rosh Chodesh Odor was. They also know that Adar is always Chaser. They know the Gemara too. So do they know when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is?
Yeah.
Sure they do. Why send Shluchim out for Rosh Chodesh Nisan? That would have been a good kasha, says the Miri. Yotzuk Adar, Elam Chaser. He gives two answers. First answer is, Efshazu Bichlal Oysu Akashiri. It's part of the same question. That's a weaker kind of answer. I mean, yeah, it's true, but it's kind of the same question that the Gemara does actually ask. The fact is, you see from the Mishnahs that it can't be Lo Ilam Chosim. Or Shema, but this is something else amazing. Or Shema Nisan Ein La'asoysoy Tofel L'Sha'ar Re'iyus V'Lismoich Kiddushoy Al Sha'ar Re'iyus. Jess, this is coming to your idea. perhaps Nisan should not be made Tofel, secondary to other months, leaving its Kiddush to a calculation based on an earlier month. Sharei af ikar Kiddush bedidei ksiv, because the whole mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh was written about which month?
Nisan.
HaChodesh Zeh Lochem. So when the Torah says HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, the Torah is saying every year I want you to be Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Whether you know it or you don't know it, or it's long or it's short, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. Comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan, declare this a Rosh Chodesh. That's what the Torah says. So we don't want the people in Bavel just to base on the fact that they know when Adar was and they can calculate ahead, and if Adar, Rosh Chodesh Adar was on such and such a day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan must be such and such a day and go from there. We want to go through the whole process on Rosh Chodesh Nisan because that's the start. You don't calculate based on what went before. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim, this is your first month. So you start this with Kiddush HaChodesh. From here you can calculate. But you don't calculate from last year. Nisan and Tishrei are the two Rosh Hashanahs, and those Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Chodeshes of those 2 months, should be declared very clearly. So I want to go a little bit further. If you look further in the Meiri, look at the very bottom of that page, and we'll carry on to the next page. He goes on to some other stuff, and in passing he says, She'ein koach b'yadeinu l'kadesh yom shloshim b'loy edus beruro. We do not have the power, bottom line of the Meiri on that page, we do not have the power to declare Rosh Chodesh on day 30 without proper edi. Aval yesh koach b'yadeinu l'shahoyz kiddushoy ad l'mocha. But we do have the option to delay Rosh Chodesh till the next day. Even if it was seen on day 1. So when Rosh Chodesh is seen on day 30, Beis Din could still decide to delay. Or if Rosh Chodesh is not seen but they know it's day 30, they have to delay. But if there are no Edim, there's no way they can make Rosh Chodesh on day 30. But lo ne'emar ken ela b'nisan v'tishrei. But that only applies by Nisan and Tishrei. She'elu mitoch she'im rosh ve'ikar hakiddush, because these, since they are the rosh ve'ikar hakiddush, sorich she'loy lehikoshel lekadshoy beloy ri'ya. A very powerful phrase of the Meiri. We have to be careful not to make the error of being mekadosh that month without edim. He regards that as a kisholei, he regards that as a stumbling, as a tragedy. If you do have to be Mekadosh the month without Edim, it can happen. But try not to do that for Nisan and Tishrei. So Nisan and Tishrei we want Edim for. So now let's explore this a little bit further and we'll say. Nisan, let's talk about Nisan, forget Tishrei for a moment. So Nisan, you're always Mekadosh. The Meiri is telling Nisan, you always want to use Edim. You want to take witnesses, you want to question them, and you want to be Mekadosh. If we hold that you're not Mekadosh on a long month, then what would be the whole discussion of the Gemara? When the Gemara comes along and says, what is the role of the Edim? And if the Edim come, let the Edim rather come on day 31. Remember the Gemara said, on that it is, so what? If the Edim, if day 30 is Shabbos, postpone it till day 31 and the Edim will come, and on day 31 you'll be able to have the Kiddush HaChodesh. But if we hold that you're not Mekadosh with Edim on day 31, and we hold that for Nisan you need Kiddush al pi ru'iyah, because it's the Ikar, it's the main thing of Rosh Chodesh, is Nisan, then we could only be talking about day 30, which means we must be holding, if we're going to hold that Adar is short, and we question that, we can only be questioning it, as Alan was saying, according to the Man D'Omer, that you are Mekadosh day 31 too. Because according to those who hold that you're only Mekadosh day 30 but not day 31, then of course Adar is always going to be short. There's no way it can be long. Because we've got to be Mekadosh. What does the Meiri say? You've got to be Mekadosh al pi Edei Ri'ya.
But isn't the Mishnah and Kaf Dalet a little different? I mean, it seems to me that there is two different types of Kiddush. There's Kiddush that's the declarative. Today's Rosh Chodesh. And there's this ceremony where they say, Mikudash versus Mikudash, Mikudash. This ceremony, you scream Mikudash and there was a Mikudash. That's just Mishnah. But whether that happens or not, Beit Din still has to determine when Rosh Chodesh is. Maybe 30, maybe 31. This Mishnah says that if it's on 31, they don't hold a ceremony. Maybe everybody's depressed. Everyone's depressed, I don't want to do it. But this is just tiksiyut, it's ceremonial. The Mishnah we were talking about was calculation, when's Rosh Chodesh. And according to that Shita, this doesn't apply to...
Well, not so simple, because the way we learned the Gemara last time, the whole concept of mitzvah lekadesh al pi al ariyah was not for informational purposes. We said even if we know for sure, for example, other is always chaser,
right,
you still need Eidim. And we said last week, what do we need the Eidim for? Because Eidim are part of the ceremony, they're not part of the information.
That was one mandala.
That was according to the until we got to the Tiyufta Rav Kahana.
Well, was the first one.
And the second one was the same, because the second one held.
No, the first one said it was a calculation. The second one said it was a kiddush. It was
no. Even the second one, the first one, the havamina was that it was that we need the Eidim for information.
Right.
The Gemara comes along, and if we need the Eidim for information, then why do we need Eidim when we know that it's possible? So the Gemara is doing that and says we need Eidim for the ceremony. Right? Then the next, and we stay with that.
Until the
Tiyufta. Until the Tiyufta, we stay with that. At the time of the Tiyufta, now there's the possibility of redefining the role of Eidim, which is where we're at right now. To redefine the role of calculation and the role of Eidim. And you're suggesting that there are two different things here, and the Minchas Chinuch will go along that line, that there are two different things here. There's the need to determine and the need to declare. The question is, what do we need the Eidim for? Are the Eidim part of the determination process or part of the declaration process? That's the real question. If it's mitzvah lekadesh al ariyah, they're part of the declaration. If it's because we need them for input, then they're part of the determination. Is what we're saying. But if we hold that you are mekadesh only on day 30, but not day 31, then this whole discussion on that chof doesn't apply. Because what is the Gemara's whole questioning? The Gemara is saying, and what happens? Why don't we just dispense until day 31 and they didn't come on day 31 and it's for the Kaddish? The whole thing doesn't apply. It's so clear that the whole Gemara can only be speaking if you can be Mekaddish on day 30, if you cannot be Mekaddish on day 31, and if the Meiri is right that for Nisan you must be Mekaddish, then it will always be day 30. If Nisan you must always be Mekaddish, and if Nisan you must always be Mekadesh, and you cannot be Mekadesh day 31, then what? Then Nisan will always be on day 30. If you've got, with the Meiri, there's just no question about that. Again, the Meiri says, Nisan you always have to be Mekadesh, because that's the Ikar Rosh Chodesh. You can't just let it happen de facto. There's got to be a declaration. If we go lahalocha, the halocha is if Rosh Chodesh is on day 31, there's no declaration. Therefore, when will Rosh Chodesh Nisan always be, according to the Meiri? Always on day 30. So there's no discussion about whether what they sent to Marufa is right or wrong. Of course it's right. The whole discussion is only according to the Mandama that you can declare on day 31 as well. If you can declare on day 31, then we can fulfill the Meiri's requirements on day 30 or day 31. Now there's a basis to start questioning, is Adar always short or do Beis Din have the option to extend it? And the Beis Din goes through the discussion and comes to the Tiyufta. They do have the option to extend it. But how does it then come out according to the halacha like Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadik? So think one step further. The halacha is that we are not Mekadesh on day 31. Is that right? The halacha is we're not Mekadesh on day 31. So what is the halacha? Is Adar always short or isn't it? Adar is always short. So although the Gemara disproves the premise that Adar is always short, it disproves it only according to the Tanakhama. But according to Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadik, it has not disproved. So according to the Halacha, we still remain with the Din that Adar is always short. We've got no reason to disprove that. That's where we're at the moment, Alan.
Astronomically speaking, you can never say that any month is always going to be 29. If you're actually looking at when the new moons appear from one new moon to the next. So what we're saying is that the Beit Din had to line up the months prior to so that Nisan, they could be Mekadesh
yes.
Nisan. If you're going to say they line up the months to be Mekadesh Nisan, it only makes sense to say they must have lined it up so they could be Mekadesh the month. So they would have said it So it would have always been a short month.
Right.
And it only still would make sense.
Right. So that they're all working towards making sure, because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Ikar Rosh Chodesh, so they're planning the whole year in such a way that Nisan is on the right day. And the same with Tishrei, because it's Rosh Hashanah, and Tishrei and Nisan are linked, are juxtaposed for a number of purposes. So we've got to, so the Gemara assumes the same applies with Tishrei. That means that the Yom Tovs are going to come out on the right days. Those 2 months have to be then on day 30, that there's a Maase Kiddush and the Eidim. So it's there's the synchronization of both forms of information. It's on the accurate day. There's perfection on Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. The rest there's play with, but on Rosh Chodesh Nisan and Tishrei there's perfection. Either Gemara proves that's not so. The Gemara only proves that's not so according to the Tanakhama, but according to Rabbi Loza Barabi Tzadik it is so, and the halach is like Rabbi Loza Barabi Tzadik. So the we would then come out that Nisan is always possible.
Can I ask you a question about how can you, Asher Tikra Otan Pri Avei Atem, how can you change Kitev just to fit in your hypothesis when it doesn't say that? It says Otan.
I haven't actually checked. The Balei Koreh might know, but I think it's probably written, the Ksiv is probably Aleph Tach Mem. It's probably written in the Torah without the Vav. Is the first thing that we should check, because that's a Kriya Neksiv. That's why the Torah sometimes leaves out a vowel so that you can read it both ways. And if it isn't written that way, sometimes the Gemara will do that. The Gemara will sometimes say, if you leave out a vowel and there's a secondary meaning, then we learn the secondary meaning as well.
So
the vowels are almost optional. That's why the Torah is written without vowels, so that you always have the opportunity to read two meanings into it.
And that's considered a group?
Yeah, that's considered a source. The real thing that comes from Torah, Moshe Bar Peh, was given to Moshe, was told these halachas. The question is, where is there a hint of it in the Torah? Where does the Torah even imply it? And we'll use that as a source for a hint of it from the Torah. I just want to go a little bit further. The question now then is, what really is the role of the calculation, and what is the role of the Eidim? How's it emerging now? Where are we at the moment? What are we saying? What's the core?
Looks like it's a calculation.
You're saying the core is a calculation?
Yeah,
why?
They already know. They've lined it up so that the Nisan has to be on day 30.
And so what do we need the Eidim for? So you're saying the question...
I don't know.
So you're where we were last week, saying we don't know what we need the Eidim for. Other than to confirm our calculation with experience, what do we really need the Eidim for? Now what's interesting is, if you look, you have a piece of Gemara that's the next onward, so you'll recognize it because it says page 40 at the top. That's the Chof Amud Beis. So you'll have a photo set with the Chof, I'm not sure what page it is, but you'll have the Chof Amud Beis to be page 40. Sorry? Rosh Hashanah, the next onward. Chof.
Oh, it's 2. It should be page
2. What's it? The second page?
Yeah. It should be right after
that.
It's in blue.
It's you'll have a 40 at the top of the page.
First blue page.
Now, in the middle of that page, it says the following. Not the middle. It's about 8 lines from the top. At the end of the page, at the end of the line, it says Sh'omar Abo Avud Rabbi Simloi. Got that? Mechashvin es toldoso. You calculate the moilad. Now the moilad is the moment that the angle of the moon turns. It's not yet visible. It only becomes visible 6 hours later. So when in shul they say the moilad will be at such and such a time, that's the mathematical moment of that angle with I don't know exactly how you would define it in astronomical terms, Alan, but it's 6 hours before you can even see any light from the moon. But it's the moment at which it's no longer the old month, it's already the new month. There's a moment when that happens. And that's called the moilad. And you have to calculate the moilad. Moilad kodim chatzos. If you calculate the moilad to be before midday, then you will know that the time for seeing the new moon should be just before sunset. because there's a 6-hour lag. However, lo noilad kodim chatzos, if the noilad is not before midday, biyadua shelo nireh somach l'shkiyas achama, then it won't be seen just before shkia. It will be seen after shkia, which means Rosh Chodesh will be the next day. So if witnesses come and say, we saw it today, before sunset, just before sunset we saw the moon, we know they're telling lies, because we've calculated the time of the moon. Lamai nafkimina, why do we have to know this? Omar Ravashi likhushi sahadi, in order to disprove the witnesses, to check them out. That's why we have that piece of information. Look at Rashi, the second of the middle thickness lines. Lamai nafkimina, why do you have to make that calculation, lamechashev, to calculate? Hari al pi edim anu mekadshim. We use edim for kiddush achodesh. If there are edim, we can be mekadesh on day 30. If there are no edim on day 30, it's automatically day 31. But whatever the case, we either need edim or we don't need anything. You don't need a calculation. You can wait on day 30. If edim come, it's Rosh Chodesh. If edim don't come, day 31 is Rosh Chodesh. Why do you need to calculate? So Rashi learns the Gemara's question as not specific to why do you need to calculate whether the molad was seen before midday or after midday. The normal way of learning the Gemara, I would have said, when the Gemara says, why do you need this calculation? It's not asking about calculation in general. It's asking, why do you specifically need to calculate whether the moon was seen before midday or after midday? But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, why do you need to calculate at all? It's all done by Eden. Answers the Gemara, le'ikhushe sahadi, to disprove the witnesses. If it was seen after chatzos, the moilad was after chatzos, and the witnesses say they saw it before sunset, to make Rosh Chodesh today, Eide Sheker, we know that Eide Sheker. So Rashi concludes that the purpose for the Cheshbon is to back up the Eidim. The core is the Eidim. The fact is, if you want Rosh Chodesh on day 30, you need Eidim. No Eidim, no day 30. Can't be any other. What about Adar and Nisan? Well, Adar and Nisan, we figured out, can also be sometimes long months. And even if Adar and Nisan are short months, we want the Eidim, we'll let them be Mechal Shabbos. Because we want the Eidim to come. Without Eidim, there's no Rosh Chodesh. So why do we need calculation? So whereas last week we were saying calculation is our source of information and Eidim top up the calculation, we've now switched the whole thing around. And we've said, no, it's not because of mitzvah l'kadesh. Mitzvah l'kadesh ala re'iyah is so fundamental. It's not just because, like the wine for the kiddush. Mitzvah l'kadesh ala re'iyah means it's a mitzvah to use physical sighting of the moon as your source of information, and to declare Rosh Chodesh on day 30. That's the mitzvah.
Rashi said that in the Chumash as well. When he explained when Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rosh Chodesh, he said, "Bitkasha Moshe," he says, "Kaze re'eu kadesh."
Yeah.
So I took him out,
that's
and said, go up and do it.
Right, that's the Mechilta, exactly right. So Kaze re'eu kadesh means that, and that's the mitzvah of Kadesh al Ariyah, and certainly for Nisan. Certainly for Nisan and for any month you want to be Mekadesh on day 30, do it by witnesses. You need to know the Cheshbon in order to check the witnesses. Seems to be what it is. Okay, this is Ryder, you want to ask something?
It seems to be just the opposite, that because if the calculations don't back up what the witnesses say, we disregard the witnesses.
Right.
So it seems that it's just the opposite. The witnesses are to support the calculation, not the calculation to support the witnesses.
Well, we don't really need witnesses to support the calculation because we know the calculation is right. So if we were relying on the calculation, you wouldn't need witnesses. The fact is so the Torah is telling us you need witnesses. But how do you know whether the witnesses are telling the truth? Do your own calculations and check them out. But you need this information, the same as for a chassanah, you need witnesses.
Which would indicate that the calculation is the real information that we're going on, not the witnesses.
Yes, but it's not valid without witnesses.
Why would worry? So
it wouldn't be valid without witnesses.
Why are we concerned about witnesses coming in line and not the fact that they saw the moment?
Oh, it can affect contracts, it can affect all sorts of things. There could be betting, there could be all sorts of reasons why it's in the interest of somebody to change the calendar by the
routine.
That's and then you had also the
but I was thinking about the
but the so that could certainly be a thing. The idea here, philosophically the idea is the importance of setting it by anecdotal information and not calculative information. The importance of using for this process of using intuitive knowledge and not using your very accurate calculative knowledge. It's like telling kids in a test, don't use your calculators, figure it out yourself. What's more accurate? The calculator is going to be more accurate. It doesn't matter. Figure it out yourself. I want to see how your mind's working. This is a human interaction. Somebody sees the moon, comes to Beis Din, says to Beis Din, Beis Din question on this engagement. This is a human thing. This is not about calculations. But you have calculations at the back to check the ADMA.
The fact that you need to have the witnesses come, it pragmatically gives the Beis Din the flexibility to make Rosh Chodesh a different day. I mean, if you didn't need ADMA, then
true.
Like
also,
Thomas.
If it wasn't, if it isn't the human factor, there's no flexibility.
Right.
If everything was based on calculation, there would be no flexibility. And this provides us with the fact that you need aiding provides us with some degree of flexibility. Even if aiding can, the Meiri said on day 30, Beis Din can still decide even under those circumstances to postpone it until day 31. But you're right, the fact that we're making it human provides flexibility, more so than it is. That's the beauty of it. Which is part of the reason that Torah Shebaal Peh is Torah Shebaal Peh, not Torah Shebichtav. When Torah Shebaal Peh becomes Torah Shebichtav, it loses flexibility, becomes dogmatic. That's why God reduced the written word to the minimum, and why every time anything was written down, it was incredibly reluctantly. When the Mishnah was written down, it was reluctantly. When the Gemara was written, it was reluctantly. When the Shulchan Aruch was written, it was enormously controversial. The Rambam was controversial. The moment you start reducing things to formulas, you create fundamentalism. As long as it's interpersonal, there's human, there's conversation, there's flexibility, there's fluidity. And the Torah requires fluidity. There are certain axioms that are unchangeable, but within those axioms, the Torah requires fluidity to be able to cope with human situations. Just go on. I think Alan, maybe you want to say something.
One thing that confused me, that the formula they're given here, doesn't take into account either the variation of the length of the hour, and it doesn't take into account the declination of the orbit of the moon. Both of those factors play in. So the number of 6 hours is not always the
Well, 6 hours will be half of the time between sunrise and sunset.
Right. So in the winter, that's not much time. In the summer, that's a lot
yes.
of time. So if you say, if you calculated that the Molad was visible at 1:15 in the summer, you'd have 6 hours, and it would be visible at night. You'd say, no, we want to get those witnesses.
When it says, it's talking about Shor's money, so you, when it says 6 hours, when it says midday, it would always be talking about midday between sunrise and sunset.
Right. So you calculated by in halakhic hours that at 1 o'clock the moon was gonna was
the moilad.
So 6 hours later, it's too late. So you're gonna say that the witnesses can't see it, but in reality, six solar hours later.
You're saying that this
will be visible.
You're saying this law, this principle of the 6 hour time lag is in solar hours, not in halakhic hours.
Well, even that it doesn't work because you also have the problem that the moon does not. We don't get an eclipse every month because the moon is not in the same plane as the Earth Sun orbit, and so the amount of space that the moon, the closest it ever gets to the sun, can be as far as 6 degrees away, which already makes it probably almost visible. So if you're in that time, it'll be a very short time that it'll be the
even in Eretz Yisrael. Even if you're talking about one specific place on the planet.
Right.
Interesting. Okay.
But it's okay, they can say we're going to have this formula and we're going to use this formula, we're going to determine it, but then we're saying that we actually don't care about the formula. It's not really based on Re'iyah. We're going to come up with an arbitrary definition here, which is more or less how we do it today.
Yeah, but here it's used to actually check the aid in, so it would seem
to
me that it has
to be
seen.
We're going to say we're going to falsify an aid in, even though the aid may in fact
have seen it, which is odd.
I probably didn't follow something. How does having the witnesses provide flexibility when even if they have the aid in, they can still postpone and declare the
next? That's additional witnesses, but the fact that if they can, depending on how severely they cross-examine the witnesses, they can make it tougher for the witnesses' evidence to stand. They can make it more difficult for the witnesses to get there. There are things that they can do in order to make Rosh Chodesh not take place on day 30, if they want to postpone it to day 31. It just allows the human factor allows flexibility. It's error. It also just allows fluidity. When humans are in control, there's fluidity. When machines are in control, it's dogmatic. And when human beings become machines, it's devastating. because they're not good machines and they've lost the fluidity. Mark, did you want to open with Anna?
It appears, though, if I'm putting the discussions together, I'm not sure I'm doing it properly, that for Nisan and Tishrei, there is no flexibility. They manipulate the prior months.
The way we came out al pi halachi, yes, according to the Tanakam of the Mishnah, there is fluidity even on Nisan and Tishrei. But the way we came out la halacha, there's no fluidity on Nisan and Tishrei.
And we have the reasons for it.
Right. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. What we still have to do, and if you have a chance to look ahead, we're going to look at using all of what we've learned, we're going to try and understand some very interesting phrases in the Rambam. So you've got the Rambam from last week, Halacha Vov and Halacha Zayin. We learned Halacha Zayin last week. We're going to learn Halacha Vov and Halacha Zayin, as well as the Rambam in Hilchos, in Sefer HaMitzvahs, which you brought the photostats from today. So next week, please, if you would bring your set of photostats from last week and this week, because we'll be using pages from both of them, and we'll take this to pretty much the conclusion, to the point where we can start letting the Minchas Chinuch inside. And you've got the Minchas Chinuch also last week. So bring both photostats along, and we can start letting the Minchas Chinuch inside next week. So that's the day after Yom Kippur next week. I hope that's okay with all of you.